Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Cary Township Board of Supervisors' regularly scheduled meeting for March 22nd, 2022, approximately 7:05 p.m. Apologize for the late start. The board met in the executive session at approximately 6:15 at that point to discuss public land and legal issues. At this time, I would ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to
the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Grisman, would you please conduct take roll?
Certainly. Supervisor Saluto?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Seeing as all members of the board are present, we will move forward. Before we proceed, we'll dispense of the normal housekeeping announcements. Number one, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is, and it has been, the policy of the township to take before all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That dovetails into the visitor public comment sessions. There are two of them, one next and one at the end of the meeting. We ask during your visitor public comment, anyone wishing to come and place comments into the record, please identify yourself, first name, last name, and address. It's very important that we keep the record straight and it's accurate, and that's just part of it. We also ask, and now kind of moving into visitor public comment, we ask that folks keep their comments to about 3 minutes in length. This allows everybody to get a chance at the podium before we start the business portion of the agenda. So I kind of loosely keep track of the time. If you get in close to 3 minutes and you haven't wrapped up, I'll gently nudge you and ask you to kind of wrap up your point. Or on the other hand, if you're finishing up, I have to finish up. But we just like to keep the meeting moving. And so those are really basically the housekeeping issues. So the first item on our agenda is visitor and public comment. So anyone wishing to address the board or place comment into the record, this is the time to come forward. Again, there is a second session at the end of the meeting.
Hello, my name is James Carter. I live at 2097 Raleigh Road. First of all, I would like to thank the board on, I guess it was 17th. We received our notice via email from Waste Management about the increase in our services. Well, the cost of our services, no increase in the services. I did, that day, I did craft a letter to the board, and Mr. Tom Staines called me first thing on the following morning, so evidently someone got to him early. Problem is, I left that conversation with more questions than I had going in. There are a couple things that concern me. One, the 8% with 80%+ increase. And I talked to Mr. Stang, he said he didn't consider it gouging. I told him, I said, well, that's your opinion and not mine. Okay, he did thank me for being nice to him on the phone, so evidently some people have been wearing him out. I told him that's not my position. I look for change. I look for correction of issues. There are a couple things that concern me. One, I finally went in depth on the provisions of 168.12d and the exclusive clauses in that regarding the services that we receive. The other piece that concerned me was the fact that there are no outs for the residents, so if we get a 80% increase, we have to suck it up, basically, is what you're telling us. That's not good. Okay. Right now, I think what happened is we ran into a perfect storm. Okay. And I've been getting phone calls out of the cahoots. And like Mr. Staines, some of the calls I got were very nice. Okay? It's something we're going to have to address because we're stuck with the 80% increase and no way out. We have to accept it as what you're telling us in the ordinance. One, I want to know when three people were invited to talk to you about submitting bids. One submitted a bid, two dropped out. I wanted to know when those two dropped out. Okay. Secondly, I wanted to know if Waste Management knew beforehand that they dropped out. Okay. Because, you know, in talking to Mr. Stain, he was very confident in the fact that we didn't have any recourses. In my letter to you, I stated the fact that I wanted to see what Waste Management used to determine an 80% increase. And I asked specifically for their last three financial statements. When I called Waste Management, they said I had to get it from you. When I wrote you a letter, you said that I had to contact, well, you had Waste Management contact me. When Waste Management contacted me, I was told that that's a private matter and I can't get it and that you would have to get it for me. When I asked why you didn't have it from the start, they said it's not something that they gave out. So my last question is, how, Sam Hill, do you approve of an 80% increase when you know that you have people in your community that can't even afford their medication? This thing is coming in quarterly when most of them get their medication. And that additional $60 is a killer for some people. And that's what they're telling me. I'm very fortunate that I'm not in that position, even with my health issues. Okay. But there are people that are. So I would like to know answers to those particular questions. Then I would like to know, since we had the perfect storm, what are your plans of looking into this not happening again? Simply because of the fact that we get the 80% increase this year, we get an $18 increase next year, and another $18 on top of that, due to math. And people are hurting. People are hurting. And, you know, that's not going to go away. We stuck with that. It's not going to go away. And I would really appreciate it if you could take what I'm saying seriously. Some people may not consider it to be price gouging. I am. 80% increase, and no one knows why. You don't know why. I don't know why. Okay? And you can talk about cost of operations. Yes, that's one thing. But to get an 80% increase and no additional services, hey, we're having a hard time getting the trash picked up anyway. There's been quite a few weekends whereas the trash was supposed to be picked up on Friday. It's picked up Saturday morning. We had one where they came on Monday and finished the pickup. And this is what people are asking me, and they want us to pay 80 plus more to get trash picked up. I thought about going a single bag a day, $9 per bag, on top of the $6 per month. No. Can people work with each other to, you know, to minimize the cost according to the ordinance? No. Some things have to be looked at. Okay, because this is not right. And I'm not going to go away. I would really like to see what reports they use. I know my time is up. I really would like to see the reports that they use to determine a freaking 80% increase. We complain about the gas. Dang, it wasn't 80%. Okay, it was not 80%. Okay, so if you can get that done for me, I saw Carter writing it down, so I figured it's going, out of the way he operates, it's going to be looked into. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. We appreciate the comment, and And we will do our best to get you all the information you asked for.
Okay.
Appreciate the comment.
My name is Fred Johnston. I live at 514 Cedar Avenue in Irby. And the reason I'm here is what the gentleman was just talking about. I was floored when I got the letter from Waste Management saying, I call it 100%. I don't know, about 80-some percent. But so I called up Waste Management, and they said, that's your normal increase. And I was looking for answers. And I called somebody up in the administrative building earlier today, and they told me that they didn't get any other bids for the new contract, which was I was surprised of. And so, you know, I'm just here looking for answers as well. I think it's gouging, and I would like that gentleman's questions answered. And how would I get that information passed on to me? Would that be in the minutes coming through?
Well, we have your information now. We're getting your address. See, we received Mr. Carter's letter, so we did know that he is requesting certain information. Some of that information we have. Some of the information, quite frankly, don't have. We're not
right.
We'll get information that we can, and we're happy to share. But certainly, if you'd like that information,
sure.
Certainly
happy I would. Share. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Is this on? There we go. I'm Jonathan Christ. I have unretired and come back to the practice of law again after taking a rest. I live at 2865 Church Road. I am here for two reasons. I have two comments, and they're similar and related. One on behalf of my clients who can't be here tonight, and one on behalf of myself as a general member of the public. And they have to do with the crossing, which is, of course, on the Planning Commission for April the 5th. And just so you know, in preparation for that, I was retained by Mary Beth Battensteps, if you know who she is. And she is the owner of the property on the southeast corner of Governor and Fishburne, probably most directly impacted by this proposed development. That property can only be accessed in the rear for parking because they're not allowing access on Governor Road there. And she had called together herself and a bunch of the neighbors and had me meet with them about representation and fighting the... And I went over with them several of the issues, including the proposed traffic study which was submitted to the township. And at the conclusion of that, I said to them, look, this is so one-sided, you're going to have to get your own traffic study. And the people looked at me and said, we're the innocent bystanders here. Why should we have to dig in our pockets to get another traffic study? And I said, because this is it's an advocacy tool for the developer. It's not a reasoned traffic study, in my opinion. And they said, well, and it shocked me because I had never thought of it in all my years of doing this. Well, why shouldn't the township then be paying for its own separate traffic? This is such a big project and it's going to impact traffic for 30 years. Why isn't the traffic getting a complete independent study dealing with all the issues? And one of the issues, I just want to highlight this. This is what kind of brought the thing to the fore for me. And I'm going to give you copies. This is out of the traffic study that they submitted. We're talking about Fishburne Road here. Now you've got to, and what it says, to make this deal work, here's what it says. In addition, we propose a concrete median to be provided in the center of Fishburne Road from Governor all the way down to the new stoplight at Stanhill to prevent left turns from or onto Fishburne Road. Wow. Okay, think about that for a minute. No, anybody coming southbound cannot now, if this goes through and their plan is approved, they do this, can make a left turn on Fishburne, off of Fishburne Road, to any of the driveways or any of the properties, effectively making Ms. Constosa's property worthless because she can't get access to it. These are the kind of issues that are buried in these things. Some people don't read them. I do. So we are. I'm come here to ask the board to get an independent traffic study. That's my first issue. My second issue, on behalf of myself, is what I'm going to call, after the name of a very famous song that I love, Here Comes the Flood. Anybody heard that song? It's by Peter Gabriel from 1977. I'm probably dating myself with that. I used to play it in a cover band back then. And one of the main lines is, they'll use you up what used to be. Here comes the flood. And what is the flood? For those of you who don't know my practice, I, in addition to having a JD, also have an LLM in taxation, specializing in 1031 exchanges. Been doing that for about 35 years. There were major, what a 1031 exchange is, a swap of real estate to save capital gains taxes. Postpone, they call it tax-free exchange sometimes. There were brand new, the government redid 1031 at the end of December 20th, 2020. And there's been a big message board going through on all of us practitioners since then, a blog type of thing. And in the course of that, I've been participating in that blog. And there was a post just last week by one of the people from New Jersey. The group is called Four Springs Capital. Anybody ever heard of it? They're a hedge fund out of Lake Como, New Jersey. And they were putting a brag on the blog where they said, gee, we've now just signed up and we have these properties available for you to consider if you're exchange for, you know, we make properties available. And here's a list of the new property. We just put over $1 billion with a B property value we have now under management. Here's a list of some of our new properties. And one of the properties they put on the list, and my jaw hit the floor when I saw it, was 667 Cherry Road in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Anybody know what 667 Cherry Road in Pennsylvania is? No. It is now the former KinderCare property, which they just bought last week. Anybody want to guess what they paid for it? In FOMO frenzy, the real estate market is today? Take a guess. Anybody's 1.9 acres.
2.5.
Close. 2.92. $1.5 million an acre. Here comes the flood. 2 days after that, I get a call from my client, Mary Backenstos, and she says to me, have you heard anything about the property across the street from me? The Masonic Lodge, I hear that that's in play. And I said, no, I hadn't heard anything. I'll go take a look. Couldn't find anything, but that's 2 acres. And I imagine that probably soon will be in play if it's not now. Here comes the third verse of that song, for lack of a better term. She says to me, what are all the little stakes I'm seeing around with pink ribbons on them? Has anybody seen what's been going on with all the stakes and the pink ribbons? They have a marking on them, JMT. Anybody know what JMT is? JMT is an engineering firm. They're on the East Coast. They go from basically New York State down to South Carolina on along the Eastern Seaboard. And they specialize in doing road widening with an emphasis on roundabouts. You do a lot of work in Delaware. I know my father, wife's father-in-law family doesn't like them much for what they did to Rehoboth Avenue in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, where they put a destroyed, as he says so, with a roundabout and widening the road and angle parking, and pretty much destroyed downtown Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm sad to hear that because I spent all my summers there. But they've got about, I went out and I took pictures. I have my cell phone. There are about 250 of these marked, and they are stakes. They are surveyor stakes, so something's coming. They're all over Cocoa Avenue. They're all over Fishburne. They go all along 322. Nobody's seen them with the pink ribbon on the top of them. They're all numbered from 1, and I got up to 244, and I stopped counting. So something's coming. I don't know what, and I'd like to know. That's another part of what's going on here. Here comes the flood. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chris.
Hello, Tracy Brown, 319 Park Avenue. Want to talk just two different topics. I've come here before about the vulture situation, and I just wanted to provide an update. I don't know what's going on with the USDA, but they do have effigies, which are, you know, the stuffed taxidermied birds in the trees. And I talked to Mr. Chrisman about it, and I likened it to Weekend at Bernie's. They're all hanging out with the dead guy and having a party. So that's not really working, but I think what's compounding it is that the USDA is leaving dead deer all over the neighborhood to bait them. So that's not really helping either. And I'm not exactly sure why they're doing that. There's a, it looks like a camera set up to like maybe count or quantify how many birds are coming to the dead deer, but it's not, it's kind of defeating the purpose of, you know, the effigies and the sound effects and the squirting. So, I don't know. I kind of like some sort of explanation as to what's going on. I haven't gotten any communication from the USDA on that. And I'm hoping that maybe they've talked to you or they've communicated what their intent is with putting dead deer all over my neighborhood to bait them. So that's number one. Number two, last Monday, my trash collector had an accident, a medical emergency, and my direct line passed away. And the trash truck actually came up into our driveway and hit our cars, and that's nothing compared to, you know, what the driver went through. And I want to thank Derry Township Police Department for their response and other agencies that responded. It was a very sad situation. So if I can just take like 10 seconds out of my public time, if we can just like have like a moment of silence. His name was Rob Stone. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Tracy. We'll have Mr. Crispin check in with the USDA and figure out what's going on. I don't think any of us know what the plan is with the deer, but we'll figure that out and get that back to you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to step up to the podium? All right, well, thank you.
I just forgot to pass these out when I was done.
Okay. Go ahead and pass them out. We'll move on to the next item on the calendar, which is the consent calendar. There are three items under the consent calendar. Under A, you have the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for March 8, 2022 public hearing, which began earlier. The adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for March 8, 2022 regular meeting at 7 p.m. With the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for March 14, 2022 special meeting at 7 p.m. And then under item B, you have the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,309,454.34 and payroll in the amount of $297,946.52. The board can take both of these items in one motion, or we can take them separately. I'll leave that up to members of the board. So, what happened?
I'll make a motion to accept the consent calendar, letters A, Alpha, B, Beta. All
right. Motion made by Mr. Zamuda to approve both items A and B under the consent calendar. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. It's unanimously. Thank you. That will take us to new business. The first item under new business is 7. The first item is 7A. The Derrick Township Municipal Authority and the Stormwater Management Update. And that's Mr. Reacock and Ms. Ryan from Derrick Township Municipal Authority are here for that.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Thanks for having us. Staff, good to see you all again. I want to introduce Sarah Ryan. She's our new stormwater program manager. She's been with the authority here for over 3 months already. It's hard to believe. She's been doing a fantastic job, and she'll give a little bit more about herself here. She has a lot to go over too, just in our short time. Hopefully, not take up too much of your time here, but there's a lot of good things we want to update the board on from the DTMA organization perspective, and also some of the neat initiatives we're looking to drive forward this year with the organization. One of them being is our new customer billing system. From a lot of feedback that I have personally received from issues that our customers have experienced with our billing system. And 4 years ago, we went to a third party, so it basically turned into a call center. That is not something that we feel provides the best service to our ratepayers or customers. So we're going to a new billing system that we're going to bring. Happy to say that we'll bring the billing back in-house. We'll have the staff available to do the necessary needs of our customers and bring call-ins. And also the new billing system is going to provide easy access to real-time account balances, updating payment options, going through our website to access the billing system, and so forth. So that will look to be, we're currently implementing that now, and the enrollment period, we're looking to have it effective beginning of fall of this year. With the public outreach initiative, we're also going to do a website refresh, so that will also have better access again to the billing system. We'd like to start providing updates, if it's through the Township e-news, on all things that DTMA is doing, whether we're on your street, doing TV inspections or flushing, or if there's any emergencies or so forth that may be occurring, that we can get quickly out to the public. We're looking to get back to plant tours. We have a lot of construction going on right now at the main plant here off Clearwater, but certainly would entertain if any of the board or even residents want to come in and take a tour of the wastewater plant. We're always open to that. There's a lot of neat equipment behind the fence. Most don't get to see it every day, so I definitely keep that option open for anybody that's interested. And with that, I'd like to just talk about some of the wastewater projects we have and some of the capital improvement plans going forward. As I mentioned when I was at the meeting here in November, we have a number of projects under construction. The major one right now is the energy enhancement project, as we call it. It's basically for us to go net positive energy. So we're going to basically have enough biogas that we generate and harvest on site to fuel dual fuel cogeneration heat and power units and generate more electricity than we consume. Therefore, we'd be net exporting back to the grid at a rate with agreement with PPNL. We'd also be able to bank power for our pump stations that are located within two miles of the plant. So all in all, it's roughly $300,000 to $400,000 in savings per year for our ratepayers. We also have a large Southwest plant upgrade expansion project in the works. We've held off bidding because we submitted for USEDA grant funds. We're looking to get upwards of $3.5 million for that. We're hoping for a decision this month. It just keeps getting delayed. It's with the U.S. government, so it's really on their time until they present it for the hearing board and get our project presented. So we're optimistic about that. We partnered with Londonderry Township for that. That they're a nuclear closure community, so that's what that grant is entirely purposed for. So we're an excellent eligible candidate for funding. So that'll help offset a lot of the project costs for that upgrade and to support the not only Derry Township's expansion or any growth that may be considered as the comp plan allows in the Middletown Road corridor, but also down 230 and within the Londonderry Township boundaries. As you probably see from Hershey Park Drive, the blue egg is not going to be blue anymore. It's already getting the structural supports, and we're going to have a cladding system. Again, as I reported last or in November, Hershey Trust is aware, or Hershey Company is aware of it. It might maybe look more like the Epcot Center than the Hershey Kiss, but be for everybody's opinion on that. But it's going to really hopefully not create any issue with glare or anything. It's supposed to be a dull finish, is what we were told. So we'll be mindful of that as the project continues. We also secured last month, we went out for pricing in March for our 2022 sewer revenue bond. So that's, again, it's with our new trust indenture that we established last year, we're able to create our own, our set our bond rating with S&P Global. We were happy to find out that our bond rating did not, it stayed the same. It stayed at AA minus with a stable outlook. So we're able to go in the market with competitive rates. We have closing on April 8th for that. And also, just to end with, the biocells processing and handling improvements that I mentioned in November, we're still proceeding with that. We have a study that was completed by Brown and Caldwell, our process engineer, and they're looking at improvements to not only set our for a mission and vision and goals in the future for how we get back to biosolids, Class A biosolids management, but also curtail any of these regulatory challenges that our industry is facing with land application of Class B biosolids on our farms. So that's something that is really apparently approaching some resolution with DP. They're finalizing their draft revision of the general permit, and likely middle of this year we'll have a draft ready for public review. And we feel that there's going to be significant implications on the phosphorus index, which is how much you apply on a farmland and your application rate, which would significantly reduce the amount that we can land apply on farms nearby that are qualified, which would significantly increase our cost transportation-wise going to other qualified farms. And they're also looking at the PFAS that I spoke of in November that is certainly an emerging pollutant and concern, health concern. With that, I want to floor open for Sarah, and thanks for your time. But if there's any questions, I could take them now on the wastewater side, or maybe we could wait to the end and comments at the end. It's up to the board.
I've said I'll come up, but just okay. A quick question on your bond issuance. So are those, what projects will that money fund?
Sure. It's to fund the Spring Creek Interceptor project, which we're experiencing quite a bit of growth over the last 5 years. The Spring Creek Interceptor towards the Termas end is near tanker outlets. So it takes trokes, it takes the outlets. There's some growth potential in that area. So we want to accommodate that. And we know we have some limiting hydraulic limiting sections in that we want to upsize. It's an 8-inch line in some parts. It goes all the way down to a 24-inch where it connects by the silos. That on the Hershey Company's property. So that's a project that's been designed here for a year, so we'll be increasing the hydraulic capacity, replacing old lines, and improving our level of service. It's also for a portion for the Southwest Plant Upgrade Project as well, and a portion for the biosolids improvements.
That makes sense. I thought part of it was probably the biosolids improvements, too.
So. Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, sure. I got a quick question for you. Do you have any medical personnel coming in doing water sample studies for viral loads?
We're actually participating with Penn State Health and University of State Park, and we're collecting samples. We're sending it out. They're doing testing for relative of SARS, presence in the wastewater.
Right.
So it's actually shown to be very effective and reliable. It shows about a 2-week ahead of any curve. And it's something that we're going to continue to partner in as long as Penn State Health. We're volunteering. We don't ask for any money or anything. We just provide samples free of charge. The Penn State...
Free fecal samples.
Yeah, that's right. And we send the samples either to Penn State here or
and they share those dollars with you?
Yeah, yeah. And I can share those if you all want to see it.
I was going to say, I don't know if anybody else is there, but this interests me. Is there a way you could put that on your website, on the DTMA website, those numbers?
Yeah, I'll talk with the professors over there and see, the medical experts, see if that's something. I think it's public information. I'll just check with them and see if I can
put those graphs. Bar graph, if there's ups and downs.
Yeah, it really shows, like I said, 2 to 3 weeks advance of any spike, so it's really neat.
That's kind of what I was getting at. I was hoping.
Yeah, it shows the relative exposure level at the hospital, because they sample at the hospital, and then they also do community-wise here for the township, because we sample at the plant.
I think community-wise it would be it would be interesting to the township and then the folks in the township to see how things are going.
Sure.
And maybe get a jump on things if hopefully things don't go south again.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to share that.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. And maybe we can put it in our newsletter, the township's newsletter, too. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
I thought you had something like that. You left me off the hook.
I'll text you.
Sarah. Hi. Hopefully everyone can hear me.
You can grab it.
Oh, I grab it. I didn't realize that was mobile.
Well, as Bill said, I'm Sarah Ryan. I'm the Stormwater Program Manager. I started this past December. And I just want to say thank you for inviting me to speak with you today. It's been my privilege. It is my privilege to serve as the Stormwater Program Manager here. I've lived here for nearly 14 years, so I've definitely witnessed some some of our intense rainfall events, starting with Irene Lee. And I've been working in and studying stormwater for 7 years. I've worked as a designer, doing MPDAS permitting. I've done watershed planning, data management, and project coordination. And so in my role now, I've been working hard to come up to speed on everything that's been going on. We have a lot going on. And I just want to say that staff at DTMA and the township have been really great in welcoming me, helping me get oriented and acclimated to everything that's happening. And particularly, I'd like to thank Chuck Emmerich, Tom Clark, Zach Jackson, and Bob Piccolo for just being really great to coordinate a lot of the projects that we have going on back in town. Sorry, I'm nervous. I'm still getting used to the Thanksgiving side of things. So we're working hard on developing some long-term collaborative planning to address the many needs for improving stormwater in our township. We're looking at developing systemic and strategic approaches to maintain and improve our systems, both on the surface and the subsurface throughout our township. But we're not just planning. We have a lot of projects underway, which I'm sure many of you have seen around town. So I just wanted to show you what's either going on now or coming this year, because we have quite a few going on. So I put together a little file that shows some of our projects here. So currently underway, we have our storm sewer rehabilitation project, and that involves... That involves lining, either lining existing pipes or replacing them throughout the township. So if you see some roads closed periodically, and you're just kind of like, what's happening there? Some of that could be our projects. Probably most significantly, Clark Road right now near Sand Hill. We're working on replacing some of the storm sewer lines there. We also have some basin retrofit projects in place. So we have in Schenck Park, along the Schenck Park walking trail, we have 2 basins that come from the Stony Run development that are being retrofitted. Those help give us credits for our pollution reduction plan and will help runoff going into Bulwark Valley Run. So those are happening along the trail. And then we also have 2 stream restorations coming up this late fall throughout the winter. So we have Bullfrog Valley and restoration. And I'm sorry, this is not seeming quite the way I expected, but so we're going to restore this section on here. It will involve stream back stabilization just to help with the intense runoff that comes down through there. We also have the deer run. We're restoring it in three sections throughout. We're doing some bank stabilization and floodplain reconnection where we can. Where we can get those floodplain reconnections, it can really help reduce some flooding issues. We're also looking at replacing the culvert on Wood Road at Limerick, which I know everybody who drives past there has experienced that bump, so we're going to get that fixed up. We also have, we're also looking at currently underway Brooklight Park, which I'm sure many of you have seen. So that basin, at one time actually people used to play soccer around there. So we have a design that will help drain the basin. We're going to develop, have kind of a mixed use of the space because there's some really wonderful naturalized spaces that have developed, but there's also some really great space that we want to give back to the community to be able to experience that again. So we've been collaborating with folks on that, coming up with a plan for the final maintenance or the final landscape design for that. Another big one we have is the Forest Avenue swale that we're going to retrofit to a basin just to help control some of the runoff that comes down Sand Hill. And then the big one that might impact, well, it will impact a lot of people.
You weigh that.
I'm like, let's just, yeah, let's just call it like it is. So this is the heart of Chocolate Town USA, Ridge Road and Chocolate Avenue. We need to do some improvements on our storm sewer system there. So we have a project coming up that will definitely impact traffic going to the park. We're looking at collaborating and coordinating our timing with the township so that everyone is aware of what's coming. The soonest option we could begin construction is in July, but we do have some options with the timeline, so there are some thoughts there. We would certainly appreciate your feedback because I recognize what a critical intersection this is, particularly in the indoor season. So I just wanted to make everyone particularly aware of that one. But, so these are our projects going around town. We're looking at creating a little, as Bill was saying, a little bit more visual for the public to see so that they know what's coming up. But I just wanted to give you a preview here. Is there any questions? I'm happy to answer.
Sarah, when will the Brookside Park Basin project finish? It seems like it's, I'm just curious because I don't know.
So a lot of these projects are very much weather dependent. And Brookside Park was already incredibly saturated, so even a little bit of rain that comes in, it makes it really hard for just really, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of the machinery out there. They're very large vehicles. It's a very large basin. This one runs almost 500 feet. So that very much is dependent on weather. We are hoping to wrap these up by the end of April. But again, a lot of it depends on the weather. And of course, then we need to get final stabilization with the planting and things like that. But we do know, recognize that the community would love to have their park back. And with all of our basements, we definitely recognize that. And to that end, we're looking at doing everything we can to ensure that when we are doing our stream restorations, we are mostly complete with one before we begin the other, because we recognize that these are areas that the public uses, and we don't want to completely cut off access to that. And also, I was remiss in mentioning we were partnering with Hummelstown Borough in order to do the deer run. I'm sorry, the Bullfrog Valley Stream Restoration. So they're sharing in the credits that we received for that through our food reduction plan.
Yeah, hi. That was a great presentation. Thank you. The Shake Park restoration. So yes. That's been going really nicely. I know I walk and run that trail, and it's been open to people for almost the entire time, and people have kind of made their way around it.
Okay.
The sections that have been closed. When do you anticipate that project being
that finished? That is also similarly weather dependent. However, I know that they are setting some of the kind of structures and looking at doing planting in the next few weeks on this project. So those are all very much trying to wrap up as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, I know it seems like, unfortunately, I can't give you a hard and fast date, but the rain really does make or break that. But those Stony Run Basin should be wrapped up here in the next few weeks. Brookside is a little bit more nebulous just because it is so big, and there's not as much option to go anywhere other than in, but
when you say planting, like, does that mean coming back in and putting down grass, like where kind of things got a little bit ripped up?
Yep. Okay. Yep. So they come back and they will, make sure that the grass is nicely seeded. We also have some special plants that will go in the basin themselves, so things like that, where you just need to make sure that everything is set where it should be, and then you come back and put in your final stabilization, let that seed grow and protect it while it establishes, and it's all right. So.
Questions for Sarah?
If not, I agree with Natalie. That's really good information. And I would just encourage you, Bill, that we should try to get that information. It should be part of our e-news because that's really helpful. Because I know that when I see projects, I can generally tell which township project is in the township. The public works folks are updating us. But I think it's just that there's so many good stormwater projects going on community that are really solving some problems we historically had. So just be good to use our platform at the township, and if you have your own at the municipal target, that's great too. But let's keep communicating these projects.
Yes, I agree. That's definitely another piece. I've started that that collaboration with the township staff, but I agree it needs to, that next piece is that public outreach and making sure the community is informed in advance. Look up and say, oh, hey, look, this project's happening now. Maybe I'll go this way this time. So.
That's very helpful. Does that conclude the update from this?
Yes. I think the last thing to just report on, as DTMA really takes the program to the next level, and as we get through this first permit round with DEP with the MS4, which is April 1st of next year, where we meet our PRP plan, and in partnership with Hummelstown on that, I want to mention, as Sarah did as well, that was a really nice collaborative effort in sharing the credits and doing something economy of scale to really help with providing a high level of service and cost for that project that benefits both municipalities. Moving forward, after we get past this April 1st crunch, Sarah and I really want to take a look at taking a more holistic approach of how the watershed impacts this region and other projects that we can look at instead of being focused on what DEP is telling us to do. We want to really take the program and understand, where we're having these localized flooding issues and what we can do, upstream of that to either store slow or convey it in the stormwater in a better manner.
It's interesting, right, because when we had the hurricane, it was so evident. Any place that was even remotely floodable was way over, flooded completely. So that picture of time, Chuck was around then. I remember we went and toured all those places in the township, and so vivid to me, all these spots that we didn't even know about that really, in a big storm, become flash flood points and really can be very dangerous. So.
Sure.
I appreciate the work that you have in front of you, Sarah. I think it's great, Bill, that you're looking at it holistically. And, uh, because these are all, it's kind of funny, these are projects that are really important and they're being done very quietly, and I think for a lot of folks do pay attention to these kinds of improvements, because when storms happen, they notice that the flooding isn't as bad in certain areas. So yeah. We've certainly spent a lot of money over the years trying to remedy those issues, but this is really a great continuation, so well done.
You basically, hit the nail on the head. DTMA has worked quietly over the years, and there's a reason we don't want to be in the news for sewer issues. So,
really, it's so much
I think fun. That's why we're saying, hey, we got to not rebrand us, but, with stormwater, it's important to let the community know where their stormwater fees are going to apply to and the projects we're implementing.
When the projects, the importance of the stormwater program is that when these projects hit, in the 2006, 7, 8, when we really started seeing these major storms, we didn't have a stormwater fund to do projects, so we were very much dependent on getting money from the state, grant money from the state, and trying to find money in other places to borrow for these projects. So stormwater fee was a really smart idea, and I think the number of projects that you guys are doing is a testament to how important that dedicated fund is for these projects. So it's really well done.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for your time. Yeah.
Okay, that'll take us to the next item on the agenda, which is 7B, is the approval and execute a reservation agreement with the Hershey and Park Club for use of the Dairy Township Community Center. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, the township has previously rented facility space to the Hershey Aquatic Club, and the proposed reservation agreement in front of you tonight would allow for that continued partnership as we transition into the new Dairy Township Community Center. The proposed agreement would take effect in June of 2022 with an expiration December 31st of 2024. The information contained in this agreement has been reviewed by the township solicitor, and the terms have been agreed upon by the Hershey Aquatic Club Board of Directors. The highlights of the agreement is a 16-page document, so I'll go through some of the highlights for you. Like I said, it's a three-year agreement running through the year 2024. It identifies the reserved area, which is shown in Exhibit A on page 16 of the agreement. The rental fees are set to the market rate, which was determined by our market analysis through Ballard King & Associates, at $15 per lane per hour for training, $750 for dual meet competitions, and $1,500 for invitational meets. The agreement also calls for 75% of entrance fees to be returned to the township. It also has insurance and indemnification provisions and addresses maintenance fees for any damages resulting from their use. Other notable items address supervision, parking, use of equipment, storage needs, and the sale of concession items. So those are kind of the main highlights of the agreement, but I'm certainly happy to answer any questions that you have at this time.
Questions for Zach?
I just have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, with this contract just put together, these same items that are included in the Aquatics contract will be included in other contracts. So, for instance, Hershey Soccer or other entities that might want to come and use our facility. So, everything's even across the board.
Correct. Yeah. So, this kind of sets the standard for any other agreement that we put in place.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anybody, any other questions? Thank you for your hard work on this act. We worked hard. You worked hard. We gave you a lot of input. You balanced that. You worked with the folks that you wanted to love. And I think you came out with a really good document. And the goal is we want those folks to be happy participants and happy users. But we have to balance it against the need of all the residents. So I think you struck the right chord. And thank you. So, with that, we can take a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the board execute a reservation agreement with the Hershey Aquatic Club.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt.
12 seconds.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Muna. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion to execute the reservation agreement with Hershey Aquatic Club. Please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion is unanimously passed. Thank you. That will conclude the items on the new business. That will take us to the next item, which is supervisor, board, or committee reports. We'll start with Mr. Zamuda, then work our way to his right. So, Mr. Zamuda, supervisor, or board, committee reports.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yesterday evening, I met with the Courtyard of Honor Committee. We discussed a number of different things. We provided them with preliminary sketches that HRG was nice enough to write up for us. And I did that tonight for our board. They're preliminary sketches just to look at and get an idea where we're going on this. Other than that, we had a Transportation Committee meeting this morning. We had another number of discussions concerning non-matching grants that are going to be opening that we might be able to apply for. We discussed the pedestrian crossing lights at Valley and Chocolate, which may be installed by the beginning of June. And that's been a 2 or 3 year project we've been working on to get those lights in. We also discussed Cocoa and Ridge crossing lights, but there's no estimated date for installation on those. We discussed dedicated bike lanes on Fishburne and the new construction alignment that may require rework of the present plan. And I think Mr. Chris was bringing that up earlier tonight. Let's see. And Sarah brought this up. We also discussed at length the construction work that's going to be coming up on Ridge and Chocolate from DTMA. We got a kind of a heads up, but we got the dates from July to November as a construction period. Do you guys have a more certain date at all for that?
So that is one date range we are considering, and that's where we wanted to get some more input from staff and collaborate so that we are planning.
Okay, when you guys get a little closer to that, can you give us a heads up in a couple of few weeks so we can, because Ridge Road will be closed, so at least for a certain length. And we've already discussed with HRG to put certain signage at Cocoa and Ridge for a lot of the traffic that's going to be going that way to let them know that Ridge at the end of the street on Chocolate will be closed to all traffic and to continue on through Cocoa too. And
so
that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
I just wanted to clear that we'll also impact Chocolate Avenue as well. So there's actual 422, there will be some construction there as well. So we're looking at traffic plans on
how to. Right, but it's not going to be completely closed. There's going to be.
There should be one thing open, but I just wanted to make it clear that it is also impacting 422.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Corrado?
No report.
I attended this Transportation Committee meeting this morning with Supervisor Zamuda, and he provided an excellent report. The only thing that I will add is that we had an extensive discussion about the Waltonville Road closure and our concerns about the detour routes and the neighborhoods that may be impacted. So that is on our radar. We understand that that is a concern for many residents. We share that concern, and we are doing our very best to make sure that the residents in that area are safe and that they have the best possible route to make it around that detour. And also library board meeting last week with Ms. Troutman, and she provided an excellent update on what's going on with the library and some new ideas for us to consider as well. And that's it.
Mr. Wyckoff.
DTMA does not meet until next week, but I think I feel like Sarah did an excellent job of updating the board. Almost as good as I do. So I have nothing to report tonight. Thank you.
Okay, I was also at that library board meeting. This is not. And Allison, we talked about some staffing concerns that Allison is seeing. And we've committed during COVID. We reduced some hours, reduced expenses where we could, and so library was one of the places that felt that. And, we're starting to see as things come back around and people are using the library again, it's replacing a demand on a team there as it relates to operating hours, et cetera. So Allison's taking a close look at that, and you know, she'll do what she can do, and then maybe this year, you know, she may have some suggestions or recommendations at budget time for 2023 that we need to consider. But and we also talked about some updating some policies at the library that probably there need to be refreshed and otherwise outstanding. That's the only report I have. That was the only report from the last meeting. So with that, we'll turn to our departmental reports. The first is from the police department. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Only a couple things tonight. We did some enhancements to our Crime Watch portal page or website. We opened a crime mapping feature on that web page where you can click on that feature and kind of see what's going on in neighborhoods. One caveat to that is that the addresses are not specific. So it might be the first block, 200 block, something similar to that. It'll pick out a nearby address to plot that incident. I know there are some addresses that are receiving multiple incidents. It's not really at that location. It's nearby. Just because of some of the nature of the incidents that are happening, you don't want to specify an address. It's in that general location. So there's a lot of information on there for our residents. It also provides a lot of information to our staff to direct patrols related to crime problems. And the other feature that we opened up on is the special handling, special needs registry. So residents can go in there if they have somebody in the family that has a medical or mobility issue. They can report that to us, give contact information. If it's somebody that has a nonverbal issue where they can't communicate with emergency responders, we can also be advised of that so we can better respond to calls at those addresses and meet their needs. And that's been well received. We've got quite a few entries on that as well. Next month, we should be coming before the board to do some promotions. And we are currently in the hiring process to fill our remaining two spots on the department to bring us back up to full complement. It's going to be a hard process. All the departments in the area are experiencing low numbers as far as people wanting to apply for police jobs. I've seen some departments where they have in the area the teens of people applying for police jobs where normally they receive in the hundreds for a position. So those numbers are down, but we're hopeful that we'll get some good candidates and be able to fill those positions.
Questions for Chief? Thank you very much. Hershey Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Sasson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 64 calls for the month of February. Membership and recruitment remains strong. I did have the honor to send to you all the annual report. That will also be going on our website. If you have any questions for that, please feel free to reach out to me. I'll be happy to answer them. If I don't know the answer, I'll get you the answer. And that is all I have for this evening.
Public Works, Mr. Clark.
We've started replacing inlet tops on Trout Road and Sand Hill ahead of milling and repaving those two roads. So we're gearing up for spring work, paving work, as well as slowly flipping the fleet for winter. Every week we take a salt spreader or two off and store it for the winter. I would add, to answer one question here tonight, the gentleman, I guess he's left out, the JMT is working on Fishburne 322, Hockersville, around a number of places. And that is a PennDOT job that is only milling, paving, and minor drainage repair work. I sort of quizzed them one day. They were out, and I saw they were sort of scattered all over the panels. And that's a projected for 2023.
Okay. That's all.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks.
Allison, library.
Just a reminder that we're hosting the New York Times bestselling author Fiona Davis on Saturday, April 2nd at 2 o'clock. She wrote The Lines of Fifth Avenue and the brand new book Magnolia Palace. She'll be coming to speak about it at the library.
Reminder of our annual egg hunt be held at Shank Park on Saturday, April 9th, beginning at 10 o'clock. Which will be held rain or shine, preferably shine. Also, in addition to our annual community center memberships, we do have 1 month, 3 month, and 10-day passes also available for sale. And so far, we have gotten a lot of excitement from the community. We've already passed the halfway mark to our membership sales goals for the year, which puts us in pretty good shape here with still a few months from open.
And we still expect on time opening?
Yes. Things have slipped a little bit. Like, we just had to delay, like, furniture, fitness equipment delivery just 1 week. But certainly that will not impact. We're still shooting for June 1st.
I thought I missed finance. It was on here. I was just checking to see if Cheryl was looking for finance. Was here. So sorry. Matt, township engineer.
I just want to reiterate what you said, Chairman Abruzzo, about the foresight the board had with the stormwater authority and implementation of that. And you know, we do that for many, many clients throughout the state. And you know what? And with Bill's leadership and with Sarah on board, what you guys saw tonight was you really seeing some of the best stormwater management run authority in the state. So I know they didn't mention that, but you know, we see that, and many municipalities are being very reactive to what DEP requirements are. But you know, from replacing pipes and starting to plan on a watershed level, we really haven't seen that many other places in the state. So just want to thank you all for the leadership, and you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Matt. We echo that. We echo your sentiment. Bill and his team, Sarah, we're very proud of what he's getting done. We'll do our best to get the word out to folks, and because I think people in the community will be proud of it too if they understood. Sometimes not kind of sure what's going on, right? But you know something. Mr. Emmerich,
thank
this
you.
Is a rare meeting when we've not spent
how about that
an hour on your project.
I set up the for Sarah today. I thought I'd even give her a podium to work from. I need to schedule two hearings with the board. The first one that I'm looking at is Monday, April 18th. I believe I've now heard from everybody on the board. That would be a special meeting night, and that's for the Governor Crossing conditional use, the project at the intersection of Fishburne and Governor Ranch. We'd look at starting that at 6 p.m. And the other hearing that I'm looking at scheduling is on Tuesday, April 26th. We already have a special hearing set for 6 o'clock, and that's for our cell tower ordinance, which I don't anticipate a lot of conversation about since it's really just complying with the new laws. The second hearing that I'd like to schedule then at 6:30 is a short-term rental, and again, those don't generally generate a lot of time. So we're already doing one at 6. I thought I'd add one on at 6:30.
That makes sense.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I have. Thanks, John. Township manager, Mr. Christie.
I have nothing further this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Chris, we'll ask that you sort of follow up with Mr. Carter and the other gentlemen on some on the answers to the questions. Yes. We're happy to share any and all information, and I think waste management will as well. So,
Mr. Chair. Since Tom's here, you want Tom to make any statements or two?
Unless, Tom, you have some. I mean, I'm opening up for visitor of public comments. So unless you have a comment, I have no. I don't think it's. I don't want to put anyone necessarily on the spot. We had a public hearing on it. Tom testified at the time. We asked lots of questions. I think it is who it is. But we are open for public comments. Anybody wishing to come forward, please.
Rich Campbell, 39 Hopkins Grove Road. In relation to the waste management issue and the contract means that you're going to fulfill the duties and obligations you commit to. Over the past year, I think waste management has failed to meet the existing contract. Should we possibly look at a possible penalty for failure to meet said contract and maybe go out and open up a new bid? I mean, an 80% increase for less service. For example, they didn't pick up my trash today. It was trash day. Now, if this is what I'm paying more for, it doesn't make sense. So could we bring it to their attention that if they fail to carry out the agreed contract, that a penalty clause be added at a 25% or whatever reduction to the people here in the community. In relation, his reason was more payment to the employees, salaries, maintenance of the trucks, and getting more people. Well, the maintenance of the trucks, if you go down Peach Avenue and all around Hopkinsville, you're going to see hydraulic fluid all over the roads. I've caught them several times behind my garage because it's starting to eat into the cat. So maybe we need to bring him back in and renegotiate with some stipulations that failure to meet the obligation is going to cost him and it should not cost us. Thank you.
Kevin Ferguson, 1338 Quail Hollow Road. before I speak, when Mr. Christer and this microphone on, it made a significant difference. And I don't know if all of you have your mics on or positioned properly. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but I have a really difficult time hearing what's being said sometimes. Thank you for the update on the closure of Baltimore Road. But what I'd like to talk about tonight is there is another piece of information I think the taxpayers should get some information on, and that's the agreement that exists now between the Mueller Center and the township's agreement with them using the taxpayers' community center. I have made an official request for that agreement. It's probably been about 4 weeks now. I have not received the agreement, nor have I received a response, and I can follow up on that. But when they were before the board at the end of January, there wasn't really any significant questions about that arrangement. And the only very good question asked by Mr. Zmuda is that $22,000 covers their expenses. And the reply given was probably the best that you could come up with, but it doesn't answer the question. It's a contribution. So does it cover their costs? And if it doesn't cover their costs, then who pays for it? They have their own section of the community center that was built just for them. They have their own private entrance. They have their own kitchen. And they have exclusive use from the last understanding that was explained to us at a public meeting here. They have exclusive use until 3 p.m., 5 days a week. So why did we enter into an agreement where our tax dollars are at risk subsidizing the Mueller Center, which is a private organization, one that has an awful lot in assets, but it is a private organization. It makes perfect sense that they're located at the community center. That makes perfect sense. I don't have a problem with that at all, but they should pay their own way. We should be not subject to paying for that. And without meters put on that section of the building, certainly when you're going through change orders, you could have done that. And you change all those contracts. And you made significant changes to part of the new business plan that you looked at. You could have looked at that Mueller Center and put meters in there to measure energy and water. So I think we deserve answers for that. And being on both boards, Mr. Abruzzo, is a challenge.
It would be, except I abstain from any involvement in the negotiation or discussions on the contract.
It doesn't change the picture.
But it does change the picture. I had no involvement in any
I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying.
It does change the picture. I had no involvement in the contract, either on the Bowler Center side or the township side. I stayed completely out of it and didn't weigh in on the contract at all.
And it's good that you did that, but the appearance is what it is. And certainly that presents a challenge, I think. Regardless of that, okay, I think we deserve answers as to why this arrangement was made where our tax dollars are at risk of subsidizing a private organization.
Sure, we can get you some additional information on those issues.
That's good for me, and I made that request 4 weeks ago.
Well, I'm not aware of the request, so if you made one, I'm sure the township's working on it.
I think all the supervisors should agree that those are questions that we should have answered. I mean, why would we enter into an agreement like that?
Aren't we subsidizing everybody that uses that facility? I mean, are you actually questioning whether or not it was an appropriate contract with the seniors that in our community that use the Bowler Senior Center? You're questioning whether or not we should subsidize any of their activity there, but you're not questioning all of the activity that's coming through the door from the swim folks who we built three pools for.
Well, that's taxpayer funded. We paid for that and we built it. And they paid to use that.
So should we charge them? You think that we couldn't have charged them more under the contract we just approved for the use of that facility?
They had a separate section of the community center.
Who, when you say they?
The Mueller Center.
Okay.
Built just for them, with their own private entrance, with their own kitchen, an exclusive use with that, 5 days a week until 3 p.m.
And then it reverts back to anyone else can rent that space when they're not there. And they also contributed, Zach, I don't remember the exact total for the Bowler Center. Was it $400,000 or $800,000?
Yeah, $400,000 was from the Leader family, and then there was other contributions made as well.
So on top of that contribution that they made that came from the mold that was essentially supporting the Bowler Center, they're also paying, as you said,
$22,000 a year. The construction figures I saw, that section of the Mueller Center cost $800,000 to construct. Now, I mean, when they leave, do they unplug the refrigerator? Who's going to take care of their waste management bill? Ours pretty much doubled. Who's going to take care of their waste management bill? There's no other organization that pays to use and rent that has their own specific space of that size just for them. When does it end? What other private organization then could come in?
Well, you made a request, it sounds like, for the agreement, and you keep saying Mueller Center. You believe it's for the senior center. So to the extent you did make the request, I'm sure the township can provide you.
Which I can speak to. I actually just pulled up. I was copied in on the response.
I was fine with that answer, but you wanted to engage with me with some questions, so that's why I'm engaging with these questions. I don't think it's appropriate, and I think that we deserve the answer.
You're welcome to the answer, and we'll get you that information.
Mr. Ferguson, I was copied in on email. We did reply with that information on March 1st. So I can forward this to you if you did not receive it, or check your email with you after the meeting.
You replied to who on March 1st?
Yourself, with the right to know request information that you asked.
You replied to my email?
Correct.
You did not reply to my email?
Well, I can show you here. If I can forward it to you, or if perhaps this is incorrect, we can get it to you.
Good enough. Good enough. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right. That will conclude Mr. Rebuttal's comment. Is there any other thing for the good of the order? We will take.
I forgot one thing. Last night, I realized the shelters are very important to supply us with our needs.
but we need to revisit the trucks going to North Parkersville, trying to cross the railroad tracks. We had an incident again last night. We had about three or four police cars had to come out and help get the truck. And I'm not talking just in front of Hockerville Road. I'm talking all the way down to this train station. And there's cars parked on both sides. A few cars have been hit before. But somehow, even with the signage, as you come up the hill, it says no trucks. And then you get down to where Hockerville and Sudara comes, it says no out, and he kept on going. And when he passed my house, I could tell it was a big truck, and he was moving pretty good, so I'm glad he stopped when he did. But is there some way that we can put up, I think there was some discussion a couple of years ago about putting up some type of a archway that says 12 feet, whatever height, that would allow the box trucks to get through, but not the 18-wheelers. Because I talked with a policeman last night, and he was saying this happens on an average of once a week, and it does. And with the summer coming, it's going to get worse. And the biggest offender is CR England. Those are the big trucks. We're talking 65 plus. But that does create a problem there, particularly with the intersection of 422, Hockerville Road, Reese Avenue, all those areas.
So that's a good point, Mr. Campbell. Well, Garth, is there something that we could take a look at and try to do something more there? Because that's happening once a week.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me it hasn't happened in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. I wish.
Because I remember when it did happen.
Yeah. Well, it's starting up again. Okay. And with the recent, like, they're trying, like I say, trying to get to the recent factory. And he says, well, this is what my navigator told me.
Yeah.
So maybe if we can reach out to CR England and tell them to tell the drivers to change their course. But it took about a half an hour to getting through the intersection and getting back out of there. And that's valuable time.
Yeah, well, I don't want them to hit other cars.
Well, that too, but I mean, the police have better things to do than direct traffic. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else? Then we will move to the next item, which is adjournment. Is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion to adjourn.
All set.
Made by Mrs. Nutt, seconded by Mr. Zarula. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed?